This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hanson.
Good afternoon. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hanson of FantasyPoints.com, the program per usual produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and a big program forthcoming. Got a new segment here on a Tuesday. The trade market is closed for the year in most leagues. So in lieu of buy low and sell high, I thought we could put the microscope down and home in on the O-line, D-line matchups as it relates to obviously your running game. So I've got the top five best O-line, D-line matchups for running games in week 16, and then the top five worst with data and thoughts on that. But we'll recap Miami at Pittsburgh as the Dolphins fall 28-15. We'll recap that. Pretty solid day, but something very frustrating happened, which I'll get to in a moment. We'll also check in with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data. Never frustrating when we talk with Stephen because he's in the data mining lab and he's getting us some goodness for week 16. Then we do still work that waiver wire. We'll go all the way at least through week 17, which is the finale for most. But there are some sickos out there who like to play in the finale. So we'll probably keep it going all the way through leading up through week 18 or to 18. So hang tight for that coming up at the end of the program, the final program or segment of the program, which is brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cash very quickly. Download Better or visit better.app now. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit necessary. And of course, make sure you are getting your Prop Points podcast wherever you get your pods, Apple or Spotify. And by the way, we'll continue this program throughout the NFL playoffs. And you think we dive deep into the data when we have all the matchups every week? Oh, get ready, because we're gonna do some deep diving when we're cutting down the number of games. Wildcard weekend is my favorite weekend of the year, by the way, FYI. We've got the most playoff football in front of us. We've got the most action for the playoffs for one week in that week. So, and the regular season is over. So it's time for me to relax just a little bit. So I'm looking forward to wildcard weekend. Looking forward to continuing the propage. We did pretty well last year. In fact, I remember we did really well in the Super Bowl. So we'll keep it going. I had that controversial play, which won on both ends of it, under on Saquon's rushing in the Super Bowl, and then over on the receiving. Love that. And, you know, last night's results, not too shabby. I did feel pretty good about getting three wins out of five, and that's exactly what happened. So let's recap it. Malik Washington, full disclosure, I was feeling this, but on the other hand, the man only got one target and he got 45% of the prop on that one play. But we do not get any more than one target. So my thing is, like, just cut the guy, you know, like you're going to use him or not. I mean, maybe I'm a little bitter there. But yeah, Malik Washington doesn't have much to offer, basically. But my analysis was that the Steelers would load up to stop the run, which they did. And they would force Tua to throw a little bit more than they'd like to, which they did. And that they would take out Jalen Waddle, which they did. But we still don't get the victory there. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't fall into that Devon Achane trap. Now, look, he ran well. He came out there and ripped off a long run, I believe the 15-yarder, and he averaged 5 yards a carry, but he didn't get to the prop because the number was pretty darn high. Now, he absolutely crushes it in the passing attack. The one thing that got to me a little bit, and I wanted to go in on the Dolphins tight end, but you got Greg Dulcich there, Bogarting a little bit of the snaps, a little bit of the targets. He was the third leading receiver in the damn game. He had 46 yards on two grabs, but Waller, man, he goes off. I mean, you got to be kidding me. 7 for 66, a couple of tutties. Waller, by the way, has the matchup of the millennium this week. Of course, so does Greg Dulcich up against the Cincinnati Bengals. But yeah, you know, we certainly gained some trust in Darren Waller. Now, in terms of the Steelers and their backfield, I didn't trust anything. I'm not an Arthur Smith fan. I think he stinks, quite frankly. I think that they have just pull out a random play out of a hat. That is the Steelers offense, as far as I can see. There's no real identity. There's no continuity. There's no rhyme or reason to anything, quite frankly. So it's like, we got a play, Arthur. Oh, go. Somebody get me the hat. Here's the hat. Oh, here's my play. That's what it feels like. I know it's not that. And I know that the Steelers coaches have still probably forgotten more about football than me, but I can still opine that they stink. And I do believe that Arthur Smith stinks. Part of the problem is, you know, he's trying to spread it around a little bit. I know that they're looking for matchups, but again, I think it hurts the continuity a little bit. They've got three tight ends. That's annoying. But the one thing, well, let me go to Metcalf. We get Metcalf correct, barely. So we are getting a little bit lucky on, not lucky, but we're barely winning some of these props here. So we are not getting bad luck. Let's say it that way. Calvin Austin, I thought was worth a shot. 13.5. There's a guy that can get that on one grab. Only got one damn ball thrown to him, and it was a bad ball by Aaron Rodgers. But the one that really stuck in the old craw was, in fact, Pat Freiermuth. Every week on these specials, I'm deliberating between the alternative yardage prop and basically the touchdown prop. And knowing it's already Smith, honestly, my first inclination was to go with Pat Freiermuth 40 yards or more for the special. But knowing Arthur Smith, I'm like, I think I got a better chance with Freiermuth being a great red zone threat to score, basically. So I opted for that. And of course, he hit 45. So unfortunately, we missed an opportunity there. I can't pick them both. Got to pick a side, pick the wrong side on that one. But we did in fact, pick Freiermuth. It was actually the second, favorite prop on the night, and he does hit that obviously very easily. I was hoping maybe on that 22-yarder he could like maybe shake 3-4 tackles and run into the end zone, but no. MVS has got to steal that out of nowhere, but really, Jonnu running one in. It's like, really, Jonnu? He catches two balls for 12, and then he vultures what could have been a touchdown. But shout out to Kenny Gainwell. I don't trust it, but he looks great. I personally feel if I see Kenny Gainwell looking great and back him, I know deep down that I'm going to get screwed over by Arthur Smith. So I don't go there. I don't touch it, basically. But thank God I didn't touch Jalen Warren. My God, Jalen Warren is devolving here as the season progresses. What do you get? 3.3. I guess 7.6, 7 points. Not too bad, but Gainwell rocked it. We all like that prop. I mean, the grinder brought it up yesterday, but again, trust issues. But he catches all seven of the targets. Maybe we should trust him just a little bit more. And we'll see about Patty Freiermuth going forward and all that. See if we feel good about his matchups, but probably not, because they spread it around and there's usually not a lot of production to go around. But shockingly, both quarterbacks throw for over 224 or 223, let's say. Tua gets 253 and a couple of tutties. Somewhat surprising there. But the Steelers get it done and stay ahead of the Baltimore Ravens, by the way. We don't get that Jalen Wright anytime touchdown prop. Hopefully he only put like a dollar on that puppy, because that was a big time long shot at plus 800. And then again, the Freiermuth special does not hit, but we almost had it. We do kind of hit a little bit with Patty Freiermuth. The do not playlist, we did go off it a little bit, the DNP list. And I did have to say, like, look, when we have one game between two bad offenses, we're probably going to have to stray away from the DNP list. So luckily we did, and we got it right with DK Metcalf. But here are some players we're adding to the DNP list coming out of week 15. No big deal here, but I was shocked to learn I didn't have the bouncer, my least favorite running back perhaps of all time. Never been a fan of Ken Walker. I've only backed him once as a fantasy pick in a, what is it, three-year career, and it didn't go well. It was last year. He was a little bit better than this year, but this is a joke. I mean, this is an absolute farce. He is the best running back I've ever seen who also stinks and doesn't produce. It's incredible. Let's also put Xavier Worthy on that list. He is not worthy of our lineups going forward with noodle-armed Gardner Minshew at the helm there for the final three games. And then last but not least, speaking of noodle arms, no offense to Phil Rivers, but he does not have the arm strength to get the ball down the field to Alec Pierce. That is, you ruin Alec Pierce, basically, if you can't throw those shot plays to him. So we can't go there anymore. I know Phil had one nice little completion to Alec Pierce, but we're not going to go there anymore. We'll see if there's any interesting news and notes to catch up on here on the broadcast today. We'll follow that as it comes down on a Tuesday. But when we return, we'll look at O-line, D-line matchups for the running games. But first, if you think you know sports, then it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download the Better app. You pick more or less than your favorite player stats. And if your pick hits, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you can get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Action on all your sports and getting started is easy. Head to better.app, BETR. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to pop in the promo code VEASAN to claim your free $10 and your deposit bonus. O-line, D-line matchups for running games coming at you next.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. A lot of information here early in the week. And by the way, just a couple of nuggets that have come down the line today, and they are somewhat meaningful for props and fantasy. The Commanders, and I wrote this last week, I'm like, I often do this where I know I have no say in the matter, absolutely none, but I'm announcing that the DC Commanders are shutting down Jaden Daniels for the rest of the year. It's kind of a bit, or it is a bit, but every time I do it, I'm right. And I said this last week about it's over with Jaden Daniels. And I'm like, oh, no, they haven't shut him down. Yes, they have. The DC Commanders have decided to sit Jaden Daniels and start Marcus Mariota for the first three games. And I will say very quickly, I'm no quarterback guru, but my take on Jaden Daniels coming out was I think he's great in terms of processing, and that's rare, and downfield accuracy is on point. However, he's like a cartoon in terms of all the hits he takes, and I had real concerns about that. I did rank J.J. McCarthy over Daniels because of this. And, you know, it's kind of playing out here. So that's the concern with Jaden Daniels going forward. Marcus Mariota is not bad if you need him because, you know, he's run every week. It's like 24 yards a game you can pretty much count on at minimum. Philly's a tougher matchup, but he'll run. Then he's got Dallas. That's really, really good in the finale. And they did just put Noah Brown on IR, so that's over. And that would help Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin's looking really good with Mariota. Terry McLaurin and Mariota have a thing here. So maybe not this week against Philly, but I'm telling you right now, McLaurin is probably going off against the Dallas Cowboys in week 17 for all the marbles in the fantasy Super Bowl and all that. Joe Burrow is expected to start the final three games despite Cincy's elimination and despite him being a sad sack as he was last week. Ram head coach Sean McVay said Devontae Adams could be a GTP, a game time. No, that's garbage time production. A GT D is a game time decision. Sorry, I got my acronyms there mixed up. So not ruled out yet for week 16 against Seattle. Tyler Higbee eligible to return from the IR. So we'll see about that, because if he does return and play, that would throw a monkey wrench into the Colby Parkinson analysis. And Lamar Jackson said he is, quote, feeling better after dealing with multiple injuries this season. I don't know how you feel much better while you're playing football, but good. I'm glad to see it. He does look a little bit better running on the ground. All right. Well, new segment here, and I've already used up a little bit of it, but I thought it would be good to continue to look forward toward props and the like, and kind of home in on O-line, D-line matchups as it relates to the running game, something we never have really time to do, but it is December and the running games are more prevalent than ever. So here are the top five per fantasy points data. We have a tool that does all the parsing of the data. The top five good O-line, D-line matchups in week 16. Number one is Miami up against Cincinnati. Miami blocks up 2.49 yards before contact, seventh most. The Bengals give up 2.70, the second most. So we're looking good here with HN. Over the last 5 weeks, the Bengals have given up 5.08 yards per carry, eighth worst, and a 56% success rate, eighth worst, versus man and gap runs. Devon HN in that span averages 6.71 yards per carry on those runs, and they represent only 35% of his rushes the last 5 weeks. So it's not optimal in terms of like the frequency of the runs, but it is a damn good matchup. It is appealing. Miami is at home getting 1.5 points. So it's basically a pick 'em game. Number two is Detroit against Pittsburgh. The Lions block up 2.77 yards before contact, second most, while the Steelers give up 2.45, seventh most. The Steelers are bad against everything, man and gap runs and zone runs. They give up 4.78, 11th most on the man and gap runs, and 4.48, also 11th most on the zone runs. They face zone runs 52% of the time, which could be a slight edge for David Montgomery, who averages over 6 yards a carry on these runs, fifth best. But still, a solid 43% of Gibbs's runs the last 5 weeks are on those man and gap concept runs, and he is at 6.71 yards per carry, third best the last 5 weeks. Translation, the Lions are home, 7-point favorites. They're going to run the crap out of the ball and run it all over the Steelers. So get ready. Number three, Baltimore at New England. Baltimore's blocking up 3.09 yards before contact per attempt. That's first in the NFL. While the Pats are now giving up 2.0, that's 19th most. Here's the key. Over the last 5 weeks, the Pats have given up the highest success rate in the league on man and gap runs, along with 5.97 yards per carry. Derrick Henry in that span is averaging 7.47 yards per carry on those runs. So we are looking very, very good. Green Bay at Chicago is coming in at fourth. Packers block 1.84 yards before contact, 24th most. Bears give up 2.67. That is the fourth most. Good news overall for Josh Jacobs. Minnesota at the Giants, the Vikings get 2.17 yards before contact, 14th most. Giants give up 2.89, which is the most. I looked at the schematics. It actually looks really good for Jordan Mason. So we might actually look at a Jordan Mason prop here on an over. Here are quickly the bad O-line, D-line matchups. Number one, it's Vegas at Houston. Terrible for Aston Jeanty. Vegas blocks up only 1.20 yards before contact, second fewest. Houston gives up only 1.74, seventh fewest. Nasty schematic run, schematic matchup to the zone concept runs. He's averaging only 2.10 yards per carry on those runs, and Houston's really good on those runs as well. Number two is, in fact, Houston in the same game. They're up against the Vegas Raiders, of course. Houston blocks up only 1.57 yards before contact, third fewest. Raiders only give up 1.72, sixth fewest. However, if it is Nick Chubb, Nick Chubb sees 58% of his runs on those man and gap runs. His 55% success rate is 30th out of 100 running backs with at least 15 carries. That's not that bad. His 4.2 yards per carry, by the way, better than CMC, Barkley, and Bijan. The Texans are 14.5 home favorite. So if it is Nick Chubb, he's probably getting, I know he's got the rib injury, but he did some work late in the week. He's probably getting 20 carries. So that would be pretty good. Number three, in terms of the bed, is the Giants against the Vikings. The Giants block up only 1.66 yards before contact, sixth fewest. Vikings give up 1.66, the fourth fewest. Both Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary are better on the man gap runs the last 5 weeks. The Vikings just give up 3.80 yards per carry on those runs, 12th best. San Fran at Indy is the fourth worst O-line D-line matchup for the running game this week. Niners giving up 1.64 yards before contact, fourth fewest. The Colts are giving up 1.91. That's the 12th fewest. The Colts are better on the man and gap runs, giving up just 3.35 yards per carry, ninth best. They see zone runs 52% of the time, 11th most. And CMC's 3.5 yards per carry on those zone runs, 50th out of 69 running backs with 15 carries the last 5 weeks. Indy is a 6-point home underdog, at least. And then last but not least, the New Orleans Saints up against the Jets. The Saints give up 1.88 yards before contact. The Jets, they get basically 1.88 yards before contact. The Jets give up just 1.67. That is the fifth fewest. The Jets give up 3.87 yards per carry on man and gap concept runs, which are the runs that Devin Neal has excelled on at 4.8 yards per carry. Now, we don't even know if Devin Neal is going to play, but FYI, if he does, not the greatest schematic matchup. If he does not play, we do have the likely replacement on the waiver wire report coming up in just a couple of minutes. Also coming up is Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data on the other side. But first, want to bet smarter this holiday season? VSiN has the perfect gift for you or the sports bettor in your life. Right now, you can take advantage of our holiday special and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That gives you everything we do, including daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits, and DraftKings and Circa for the betting splits, AI power prop tools, and weekly wide receiver corner matchup edges, 24 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app. All kinds of stuff, including the postseason betting guides and expert picks, including the college football playoffs and the Super Bowl. Don't miss this limited time holiday special. Go to vsin.com/subscribe for more. Stephen O'Rourke next year on Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. I had to think there for a second, like, what day is it? Oh, yeah, it's Tuesday. And we go to the Progressive Guest Line on a Tuesday to bring in our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points, Senior Film Analyst. Very fancy title. He's on the X machine at CallMeSteve07. Back again for another week of early week calls, basically. Steve, how are you? I know you're licking your wounds a little bit on your Lions. How are you doing otherwise?
Yeah, I'm doing well. You know, it was a rough game to watch. You just hate, you gotta hate when your team just can't even make a stop to save their life. It looked like a fourth grade offense could have gone up and down the field on them on Sunday. So other than that, though, I just can't believe that we're already into week 16 and Christmas is right around the corner. It all goes by so fast.
It does. It does. And we're always, and you know, this is my 32nd straight year of not having any time to do any holiday shopping or anything like that. We're ironically, you know, in the fantasy business, as the holidays are here, it's like, it's, this is crunch time. It's the most important time.
Yeah.
But you know, in the prop world, you know, we can just, you know, make the holidays a little bit more entertaining by playing some props. Well, let's start with, you've got something that you like on TJ Hockenson. I hate to say it, but I would be worried about your Lions falling to my Vikings in a couple of weeks, because if JJ McCarthy continues to play well, which I do believe firmly that he will in this game against the Giants, then the confidence may start rolling, and we know what happened last time out. But let's go to TJ Hockenson. I loved Hockenson this summer. I was incorrect, but as often is the case, he's going on a little bit of a run here, and he might actually end the season on a very high note, and you like this matchup against the Giants.
Yeah, I also am worried about that game against the Vikings. And yeah, I think JJ McCarthy has started to come on really well. It's almost like if you give a young quarterback a little bit of time to develop, it's something, good things can happen. And that seems to be better what's going on in this week. Yeah. It's, you know, just give him some time in a really good offense and eventually it'll click. And this week with the Giants, with them playing the Giants are allowing 10.6 yards per attempt to tight ends lined up in line, which is third worst in the NFL since week 9. The last 5 weeks, Hockenson has a 20% target share, which is second on the team. He averages 2 yards per route run against the blitz, although just a 12.8% target share. All in all, I think that you've seen the connection and the chemistry between McCarthy and Hockenson come together a little bit, and then it's waning in other areas with Jefferson and some of the wide receivers at time. I expect McCarthy to lean on Hockenson this week a little bit, and he'll have for him to have a good game.
Yeah, that was actually my analysis. Throw it in the middle of the field, down the seam, throw some missiles to Hockenson, run it down the seam, because you got those studs on the outside commanding so much attention, but they didn't listen to me. And they ran their offense, which is downfield stuff and all that, but that also lower percentage stuff. I'm like, let's, you know, it's a cliche, but, you know, nothing can be a young quarterback's best friend like a big body tight end in the middle of the field. So better late than never on Hockenson and McCarthy. I loved Khalil Shakir last year. I actually took his under this year, and it's gonna be close. It's really good, really close. But you like him, I presume, up against the Browns this week, which is not your typical Shakir matchup, but what, maybe you're seeing some data points here that you like, obviously. What do you see?
Yeah, I just see that Cleveland's running a ton of single high the last 5 weeks, so at 71%. Khalil Shakir leads the team in target share against single high since week 9 at 23.5% and 0.28 targets per route run. Cleveland's been pretty good against the run this year. They're averaging they're allowing 3.88 yards per carry this season. So I expect with the run game potentially taking a little bit of step back, Khalil Shakir should come up as like a screen underneath option to kind of supplement the run game a little bit. And I expect him to kind of have a, you know, high reception, decent yardage game against Cleveland. They're solid against the slot, but he's seems like the one receiver that Josh Allen can rely on. And against man coverage, he can usually do pretty well and separate pretty well.
Chopping it up with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data, per usual on a Tuesday. He's on the X machine at Call Me Steve O. Next up, you've got Devontae Smith up against DC. I see that they're playing inside Noah Igbinoghene, and I just said that just so I could show off that I know how to pronounce Igbinoghene. But what do you see here with Devontae Smith this week up against DC?
Yeah, this is just the classic, you know, Philly, based on whether they play single high or two high, you can kind of pick between AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. Right. Washington has leaned more too high. I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago. They've leaned more too high since they've gone with Dan Quinn as the play caller. They're at 55% too high since week 10. Washington also allows 9.04 yards per attempt to slot targets since week 9, which is eighth worst in the NFL. Devonta Smith leads the team in target share against too high coverage at 22.8%. He averages 2.07 yards per route run against too high coverage. All in all, I think this kind of leans toward Devonta Smith being the straw that stirs the drink for Philadelphia this week, as it kind of tends to go. I know normally it's been Brown against Washington, but with the too high switch halfway through the season, I expected to lean towards Devonta Smith this week.
That's right. Dan Quinn took over about a month ago, and they're playing a lot more too high, a lot more zone, all that, you know, the old Seattle defense and all that. Next up, yep. And we're duplicating a little bit. We're overlapping a little bit because I just did a new segment in lieu of buy low, sell high. O-line, D-line matchups, number four on the list is Green Bay up against Chicago. What do you see with Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, I saw that you had touched on it, and it plays right into it. The Chicago Bears allow 5.04 yards per carry on the ground this season, including 4.98 yards per carry on man-duo concept runs. Josh Jacobs averages 4.53 yards per concept on yards per carry on man-duo concept runs and has a 56.5% success rate. That accounts for about 42% of his rush attempts. Bears also allow 0.14 missed tackles forced per attempt, which is tied for the 11th worst in the NFL. Josh Jacobs averages 0.17 missed tackles forced per attempt this season. He had 86 yards in their first matchup at a 55% success rate. He forced six missed tackles. I expect Green Bay to kind of use Jacobs to control pace in a game where, without Micah Parsons, all of a sudden that pass rush looks massively different in Green Bay. Caleb Williams now will probably have more time to throw, and that Chicago Bears offense could get a little bit more potent against Green Bay. So I expect him to use Josh Jacobs a little bit more to kind of control pace and keep the offense on the field and keep Caleb Williams off the field.
Yeah, that Lucas Van Ness has been a little bit of a disappointment. I mean, let's be honest here. It's a number one pick, and they had to go out and trade Gary for Micah. Yeah. Yeah, Gary, I guess this year has kind of fallen off. I don't know what is up there, but let's move on to the last name on your list here. It's interesting because last week, man, wow, I did win an Ibuka prop here, and you know I thought he'd have a better game than he had been having, and he did. And Mike Evans, though, went off. Yet, you like Chris Godwin here up against the Panthers. I'm sure that's a cover three or cover four deal. What do you see there?
Yeah, well, it's mainly just that Carolina has been getting absolutely blitzed by slot targets this year. They're giving up 11 yards per attempt to slot targets. I mean, the last four weeks, they've given up 83 yards, 137 yards, 38, 89, 154 to slot targets. So all of that kind of points toward Chris Godwin. He's had kind of a slow start since coming back from the injury. He's averaging just 0.83 yards per route run, but he is third on the team in target share at 16.4%. I expect you, Baker, to use Godwin a decent amount. Carolina allows 7.75 yards per attempt to receivers out wide and just a 61.8% completion percentage. They funnel everything towards the middle. That, I think, kind of leans toward Chris Godwin. He, you know, started to look a little bit better separating last week. I know it didn't flesh out into a ton of yards, but I do think that the schematic matchup in Carolina just being a sieve against slot targets since about week 9, I expect Godwin to get a decent amount of run this week.
He is Stephen O'Rourke. Great stuff there. Make sure you follow him on the X Machine at Call Me Steve O, doing the great work here. You're doing God's work. Let's be honest here. I mean, in terms of props and the like, that's what you're doing. We'll follow you on the X Machine at Call Me Steve O7. Great stuff, Steve. We'll talk to you next week. What'll I be damn near Christmas Eve, but happy holidays to you, sir, and we'll catch up with you next week. And on the other side, we'll take a look at that waiver wire here in the final segment of the program. But first, if you think you know sports, get paid for with Better Picks, the daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better, pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and if your pick hits, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you can get a 50% match up to $200. Play NBA, WNBA, MLB, and more. Go to better.app. Download Better today. Use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. Waiver wire pickups for week 16 and beyond coming at you next on a Tuesday edition of Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the final segment of this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. I'm John Hansen. All right, let's get to the waiver wire. A lot of duplication, replication. You know, it's like, for example, last week, my number one guy was Luther Burden. And by the way, he crushed this week. No one cared. No one picked him up. I mean, he was available in like 16% of Yahoo leagues last week, and this week it's up to 17. But anywho, number one on the list, I'm going to go Michael Carter, who was only rostered in 5% of Yahoo leagues. Bam Knight suffered a bad ankle sprain, so he ain't playing this week. Carter stepped into a bell cow role once Knight went down. He played on 79% of the snaps. Amari DiMarcado only saw 11% of the snaps. Now, maybe they ramped that up just a little bit, but I think Carter is the only guy to trust. It is a so-so matchup against the Atlanta Falcons, but I actually went and looked, and they are currently giving up the second most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs in the passing game. So that is Michael Carter's deal. He caught 4 balls for 38 last week, which is 7.8 fantasy points in PPR in America. That's not bad. Next up, Nicholas Chubb. Sometimes, you know, we won't know what the deal is before your waivers run, is basically what I'm trying to say here. Sometimes if you're a scout, you need to be decisive, like, that guy stinks, or that guy's good. And sometimes you got to be decisive on the waiver wire. And I will decisively go Nick Chubb, even though I know he's dealing with the rib injury. He did get a limited workout last week, which tells me, obviously, he's on the mend. So if Woodrow Marks is out, I know the rookie Jahar Jordan would be in the mix, but that guy is tiny. You got Dare Ogunbowale. Let's be honest. The only reason we like Dare Ogunbowale is because we like saying his name and showing off that we know how to enunciate Ogunbowale. But I'm somewhat serious there. He is a pretty good receiver. But here's the deal. I mentioned the Chubb data that I have here. It's actually a scarier matchup, but Chubb sees 58% of his runs on man gap concept runs. His 55% success rate is 30th out of 100, which isn't that bad. And, you know, he'll see a lot of those. They see a lot of those runs. So do the Raiders. So I think, and look, they're 14.5 point favorites. So if Woody Marks is out and Chubb is in, I would bet on Chubb getting 18, 20 carries. So that's not bad. And certainly capable of catching the ball as well, by the way. Before Woodrow Marks took over, Chubb had 2 or more catches in 3 of their first 4 games this September. A lot of times they throw to him on early down, but, you know, he's capable of catching a couple of balls to augment the fantasy value. Next up is Jaden Reed. It does look like Christian Watson avoided a serious injury with that chest situation, and he may play, but hey, that's fine. He works well in conjunction with Watson, does Reed. And Reed is slowly growing into his old role as the go-to guy for Jordan Love. Led them with 5 for 55 receiving on 6 targets last week. Certainly, if Watson is out, that helps. Matthew Golden would basically take on that role. But I think Reed is set with a steady, stable role. And this week's matchup's pretty good. They've been a slot funnel against the Chicago Bears. Next up, Colby Parkinson. The Rams are so good that if they wanted to, which they may have to, Sean McVay could just flip a switch. It's like, all right, well, now we're a tight end offense, basically. We throw to the tight ends and that's it. You know, obviously we'll throw to Puka, but we're tight end centric. They can do it. They've got the horses like Colby Parkinson, who they acquired, brought in from Seattle a couple of years ago. Rams may not have Davante Adams, of course. They may get Tyler Higbee back, which does throw a little bit of a monkey wrench, but I think Colby Parkinson's carved out a good role here. The dude has scored now in 5 of his last 6. I liked him last week based on the schematics, and he did come through. I haven't had a chance to really look hardcore at it, but the Falcons, they can be giving to tight ends. It probably is a pretty good matchup. They play single high, so there's that. Number 4, and again, the problem with when I back a player who struggles is I want to stick to my guns a lot of the time, but you know, sometimes if the guy stinks, then now if I keep going back to the well saying, oh yeah, he's pretty good, you know, now I'm just not giving up or not admitting to myself that, you know, the player stinks or whatever. But JJ McCarthy, I did talk about 2 weeks ago about this run of games. And guess what? He's an elite quarterback one the last 2 weeks. I know it's only 2 weeks, but this week's matchup is outstanding. So I am going to opine that Jonathan James McCarthy will close out the 2025 season. It's been a disaster. It's been a nightmare. A lot of growing pains. Decent amount of it's his fault. Certain percentage is the O-line. But I will opine right now that JJ McCarthy will end this season as a top seven fantasy quarterback in weeks 14 through 18. And yeah, that's late in the season and you're sunk if you counted on that. Not that anyone truly did, by the way. But hey, better late than never. This matchup against the Giants is really good. He's got three rushing touchdowns on the season in a lost season in which he missed a ton of time. How many would he get in a full year? We're talking five or six. And he's throwing multiple touchdowns here lately. So my preseason call looks terrible. It's completely negligible because he was a 14th round pick. By the way, my plan was get McCarthy and every single time get Jordan Love. So they were kind of joined at the hip. That's neither here nor there. Bottom line is JJ's looking good. And the matchup looks good this week and next week, by the way. A.D. Mitchell comes in next here. Hey, at this point, he's quarterback proof. I mean, Brady Cook. So I heard our guy Adam Schein on Sunday doing a highlight saying, let Brady cook. And I thought that was a good little moment there. And Brady was cooking. And A.D. Mitchell is the guy. He's got New Orleans and New England. Again, you're not counting on him. You're not expecting the world, but if you need him, just roll him out there. You know, he's playing a little bit better. He's talented and he's got a huge role. Blake Corum, we brought him up 2-3 weeks ago. I'm like, look, they're going to evolve or devolve into a two-headed monster here. And it's kind of happening. Corum now has a touchdown and 13 plus fantasy points in three straight games. Not too shabby. And of course, they're going to lean on the run probably even more now, with Devontae Adams banged up, and of course, Puka a little banged up. Luther Burden dropped him down because, A, he's fairly dependent on Roma Dunze's status, but I don't think we're looking great with Adunze. I mean, at this point, maybe shut him down for the playoffs. But Burden also suffered his own ankle injury, so we'll see about that. It's not going to be known until later in the week, but, you know, he is kind of the one here. Over the last, he's the de facto one over the last 2 weeks. He's got 10 grabs for $151 on 13 targets. Jalen Coker, I'm the only one in America, I think, who's given this guy some flowers. I had him on the list last week, and he's still only rostered in 5% of Yahoo leagues. Well, if you would have picked him up and used him, you would have got 15 points last week because that's what he got 2 weeks in a row. And since week 11, he's actually got 12.4 fantasy points per game and only 10 fewer points than Tet McMillan. Next up, my guy, he's my other guy, Tyler Shuck. Shuck is not rattled, and he continues to roll. He is now a legit QB1 the last 5 weeks, 20.7 fantasy points per game. Kellen Moore is good, and Tyler Shuck is also pretty good. And then I had Darren Waller there on the list there, I believe. Well, he is looking great this week against Cincinnati. Also, CJ Stroud, Darius Slayton, Dalton Schultz. And if I had to go there in New Orleans, I would go Audric Estime over Evan Hall. That is a wrap on the program. Stay tuned for Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel today at 2 Eastern. Adam Burke shares his early week betting positions, followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then stick around for VEASAN Primetime with Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns at 7 p.m. We will have Brett Whitefield on the program tomorrow, per usual, with some props. page, and we'll also likely pop out a best bet that's actually crushing it here, an early one for Wednesday's show, LA at Seattle. So until then, enjoy the evening, and we'll catch you mañana for another edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN.